Blog Talk
Radio. They can hear us now. They can hear us now. They can hear us now. So we're on the drive home, and we're talking back and forth, a good banter, and we're talking about old school songs from the 90s. That's old school to us, because that's the prime time. We love 90s. But let me ask you a question, away from music. Did you ever rock a Caesar haircut and sideburns?
Of course, bro. I graduated in 2003. That's all I had was. Dude, I used to have the platinum blonde top because of Slim Shady. The top of my hair
what about
was
disco?
White.
Yeah.
So because of Slim Shady, I dyed my hair blonde. Used to get a Caesar cut. I used to get a high and tight or a Caesar cut. Edge straight across on the front.
See, I seen somebody the other day that rocked a Caesar.
Nice.
I was like, I can't hate on your player because it looks good on you.
Yeah, that's the problem is some people look dang good with a Caesar cut.
Yeah. But what about Birkenstocks, man? Whatever happened to Birkenstocks?
I never got into Birkenstocks. I didn't even know what they were until I met my wife. And she had a pair of Birkenstock flip-flops. And I was like, what's Birkenstock? She's like, you don't know what Birkenstock is? And I was like, yeah, everybody knows what they are. I just want you to tell me so I know that you know.
Let's say it on the count of three together.
Yeah, one, two. I'm just trying to get you to say it.
Yeah. So, of course you know me. I don't pay full price for anything unless it's dinner. So I had a pair of knockoff Birkenstocks that were like the slip-ons, you know, that were like the leather, but you flip your toe. You flip your foot into them and it had no back. You know what I'm talking about, right? They were popular in the 2003, 2002, 2004 era.
Yep, they were like a light tan or like they were a sand color or like a caramel color. And then you could get it in chocolate, but nobody wore chocolate. Those were Birkenstocks?
I call them Birkenstocks because
I for sure had a pair of those. Yeah, I had a pair that were American Eagle that looked just like it.
Exactly. Same here. I didn't pay full price for those either because I got them at Goodwill. But I was at my parents' a couple of weeks ago, and I found them. And I'm like, holy cow, I should totally rock these. And I was like, Matthew, you graduated school in 2004. Chill out, bro.
Why didn't you, though? Because you could be that guy that's like, you know what? I don't care. You could let the BLS followers know that it's not about trends. It's about what you like. Don't live your life around what other people tell you is acceptable. Live your life around what you enjoy.
That's true. But I also have a pretty crappy friend named Tiger Taylor that will make fun of me if I did.
Who I will bash you. I will bring it up at every social gathering that you wear Birkenstocks. I will what's up?
I said, now that we're talking about fashion, let's talk about your favorite fashion. Who do you follow for fashion?
You know, I honestly, nobody. I don't do the whole Pinterest thing. You know what? If I swagger jack anyone, it's Brendan Schaub and you. Whatever Brendan Schaub says he's wearing, I buy. John Varvatos, great. If he suggests something, if he says, like, hey, I just got this new blankety-blank brand, I go out and I have to get it because I love everything he does, so I jack his style. The other person is Matt Waits. When you come down, you're always dressed to the T, and I'm always like, man, what's he wear? And I see what you put together, and then next time I go shop, I think, is this what he had on? Is this what he's wearing? Or I'll call you and ask you, like, what's hot? But I don't have a go-to Pinterest guy. I don't have a guy that I love to follow for hair or clothes or anything like that. Honestly, if I'm dressing myself and not trying to just, you know, outdo it or go out for a special occasion, I'm in windsuit pants and a T-shirt, all kidding aside. I wear windsuit pants. What do you think of that, buddy?
Now, are we talking about windsuit pants that swish? Swish, 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 swish.
Yep. Yes, no. Those when I say windsuit pants, I mean straight 90s Nike windsuit pants. I still wear them.
I love it.
Now, it would be pretty cool if you had, like, the 90s or 80s retro ones that were, like, super bright, like, turquoise, yellow, and neon. Those would be cool. I'd be okay with that.
Sure. But, again, I don't have that fashion sense that tells me that if I'm going to wear them, that I need to buy retro. I just wear black, all black, or black with white at the bottom. Just like the classic
right.
90s look. In fact, my best friend in the whole wide world, Matt Waite, always tells me that I have the worst style ever and I should just stay home.
I would never say that because I love your style.
No, Frank was over this weekend and he had to borrow a pair of pants. And he borrowed my windsuit pants and he was like, oh my God, I forgot how awesome these are. And I was like, yeah, man. He goes, you always wear them. And he goes, now I know why. They're dope, bro. I love me
Yeah. Suit
pants. I'm getting the swoosh, 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 swoosh. Those guys, I love them. Can't get enough of them.
Yeah, sir, I mean, I'm not going to lie. I own a few pair. I'll wear them every once in a while. But
yeah, daily. I wear them every day. I won't even wash them.
Now, what fashion were you into back in high school? Let's
ooh, I was labeled like a. I would wear like I was like a pretty boy thug in a way. I wore everything one size too big, but all like the name brands that were the Hollister, the American Eagle, the Abercrombie and Fitch. I was the confused kid. I was dressing those brands, but by in sagging. Oh man, I used to sag all the time. Holy moly, bro. You talk about embarrassing?
Yeah.
I would not stop sagging.
That's sexy, though.
That's what my fashion said. What was yours?
Man, I'm telling you what. Well, in high school, I worked. I had a little job, and whatever money I would get, I would spend on clothes or gas or on the car or whatever. But I was always a thrift shopper. I'll thrift shop like crazy. I don't ever pay full price for anything. If it's not on clearance or if it's not at thrift stores or if it's not on sale, then I will not buy it.
Jeez, I got to be honest. With our listeners, I got to hold you accountable. I got to hold the listeners accountable. When I knew Matt, guys, whenever I was running around with him from 05 to 07, he was not a thrift shop guy. Matt would walk into Muskogee Mall, he would go to American Eagle, and he would literally say, I want everything that's on that mannequin, everything that's on that mannequin, and everything on that mannequin. And I'd be like, good goo. He would buy what was like the mannequins were dressed as. He would buy those three outfits, and they'd be like, all right, I'm good. He used to give me clothes and be like, here, man, I have like three shirts that you gave me. And three, like, overshirts, because you're like, here, wear these and these and these. At the time, you know, they would start fitting me. You would just give them to me, because you were buying new outfits like that. And I'd be like, dang, you buy the whole outfit off the mannequin? And you're like, sure, it looks clean, I'll buy it.
Yeah, I did have a problem. And after, once I started noticing how much money I was spending, then that's when I decided to go to thrift stores. But I still do that today. You know me now, I don't spend a whole lot of money on clothes.
Sure.
Like,
sure.
I would go. Go ahead.
Yeah, I spend lots of money on clothes. All my clothes you can't afford. Get on my level, baby. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
I do spend a lot of money on clothes, though. Yep. Lots of money on clothes.
Yes. Well, see, I just can't bring myself.
We were talking about that stuff earlier. We were talking about watches. And I wanted
a luxury watch.
Yeah, I wanted a luxury watch, and I've been looking at a few of them. I can't bring myself to pay for them, but I'm like, oh, I want one. And then I look at the price, and I'm like, I can't justify it to myself yet. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I have a friend who's getting a Rolex.
This
the one he's looking at is over $10,000 Rolex.
But can't afford an average meal. But no, this is the way I see it. We're paid by hour, right? But those hours
sure.
are we're wasting our life to do something that we don't like or what we enjoy. It just depends on your job. So basically, I'm giving up my hours of my one life that I get to make this money. And there's no way I'm about to go spend $10,000 on a freaking watch. I literally, and you know me, I only get my watches from Walmart, Garage Sales, or super cheap discount. I don't pay more than $20 for a watch. But I make sure that it's fashionable, it's in good condition, and it looks great with the suit, jeans, or whatever I wear. Like, I sent Tiger a picture of a watch that I got at Walmart. Literally, a watch I got at Walmart. It has a leather strap, blue inside, silver outside. Really eye-catching. And paid $7 for it.
It's a sharp watch. All kidding aside. But see, I don't want to waste my money. Because, like, I want a watch collection. I feel like that's a really adult thing. So I want to collect watches. However, whenever I look at that and I think, I don't want to own 50 $50 watches and then
right.
be like, man, I could have just had one really nice watch.
Right. And this is my thing. Whenever we go out to dinner or whatever, we'll all flash our watches or our cufflinks or our bow ties or tie clips or whatever we got new, you know what, we'll flash it. Once we wear it like
sure.
3 or 4 times, it's just like, oh, okay. Like buying a new Land Rover. You drive it around town 4 or 5 times, everybody's seen it. Not a big deal. Do you think it's the way
yeah.
that
I think that last thing I think is hitting home is I bought a Range Rover 3 years ago and I kept it for 2 years. But I bought it because when I was in high school, all the rappers and the rap videos, they were pushing the Range Rover, they're pushing the rim. All the songs were talking about Range Rover, all wood. And I was fortunate enough to be able to afford one. And I bought it. And whenever I first bought it, I didn't tell anybody. So the first time they would come down or they would see me, they would freak out because I had a cream, it was all cream Range Rover. And then it was peanut butter interior. And fully loaded. And like Matt, the first time he saw it, he came down. He didn't know that I had it. I opened the door because I seen him pull up, and he's just walking around the car. Not saying anything. Just continuing to walk around. Oh, and it had blacked out 20-inch wheels. And he didn't see anything. He's just staring at the car, and he's like, man, let's go for a ride. And I was like, nah, man. I was like, let's come in. Let's hang out. Let's get in. He's like, let's go for a ride. I was like, man, we'll go for a ride in a minute. He's like, no, I'm not coming in. We're going for it. Like, he had to go on a ride. And that's the moment when you own a Range Rover that you feel good. You're proud of it. That night when we went to dinner, he wanted to take the Range Rover. I wanted to ride in his old truck. His old truck, just, it's a sentimental truck. I want to ride the truck.
It's falling apart.
Oh, man, it's sentimental. And he wanted to take it. So we took it. And that was nice. And then parked there, looking out over the balcony of the grill, staring down at the Range Rover. It was nice. But the second and third time Matt came down, it wasn't a big deal. You know, same thing with all my other friends. And that's what I kind of think is, like Matt said, when we come down, I'll wear John Varvatos boots. And Matt will be like, man, I really like those boots. I'm like, oh, yeah, they're John Varvatos. And then everybody's like, what? John Varvatos? What? And then by the end of the night, I've spilt drinks on them. Queso from my chip has fell into the floor and landed on the top of my boot. You know what I mean? Like, I'm learning, and I feel that whenever I buy these things, it's fun until everybody knows. And
right.
then once everybody knows that that's how you're living, it just becomes an, oh, okay, well, he wears John Varvatos. You know, but is that a sense of, like, never feeling accomplished? Like, man, it's not good enough. It's not good enough.
No. I don't think so. I see.
What do you think
I
it
don't
is?
Know. I don't know, because I can't really speak about that, because I'm not a big name brand person. Like, I'm just fine, like, going to Target and buying a Massimo shirt and making sure it fits right. I'm cool with it. I'll still rock it.
Massimo, but I just don't know. When I was in fifth grade, we used to drive all the way to Wagner. Wagner had a clothing store. I can't remember what it was called. We would drive all the way to Where to Go, and we would buy, like, Pepe jeans, Z Cavarici, Massimo, and we would buy all those clothes for back-to-school shopping. Because if you weren't rocking the Massimo and the Z Cavarici and Pepe jeans, you were played, son. For sure your parents didn't love you if you weren't rocking that.
I guess my parents didn't love me, and that's why I got made fun in school all the time.
What happened to Where to Go?
When I graduated high school, because I lived in Wagner, it was still there in 2004, but I think it finally shut its doors, like, late 2004, because I went off to college, and then I dropped out, came back, and that's when we both started working, making hell of bank for our age, man. That was ridiculous how much money we were making for our age.
For
especially
sure.
In the Midwest.
We were young, overpaid, and we played hard.
Man, we played so
saved
much.
Saved none, invested none, but played hard.
Yeah, still got nothing to show for it to this day.
A lot of memories.
Right.
What was the deal with Where to Go? Well, was that like a resale shop, or was that like a, what was it? A factory outlet, or was it just
a
boutique?
I couldn't afford going in there. Growing up, I couldn't afford to go in there, so I didn't know what it was.
Hashtag rich or shit parents for this guy. But I don't have a sob story there. I don't have a sob story that I don't, you know, I didn't have parents. I don't have that coming up road. I was adopted by my grandparents. I was doing all right. But, no, we were rocking that stuff, man. I remember Umbro shorts. You remember Umbro shorts?
Yep. Soccer players wear those.
Yeah, I was a soccer player. I'm Italian. Don't worry about it. I used to rock the Umbro shorts. I thought you knew.
So, do you think
you're
going to get the role? Go ahead.
When I lived in New York as a child, we used to wear velour jumpsuits. I wore velour jumpsuits in high school. My senior year, I would wear velour jumpsuits. A super gold thin necklace with a rosary type, a pendant, like a cross on it, you know? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thin gold chains. Super
that
dumb.
Hamburger meat coming out of your.
Ooh, I don't have any hamburger
have...
meat, especially in high school. I was bald as a baby on my chest. Not even
your
not
gold
even
watch.
I do. I rock gold watches still to this day. I like me some gold. If I'm gonna wear a necklace, if I got a chain, it's got to be gold. It's got to be thin. It's got to have a cross hanging off of it. It's got to be just past my collarbone.
Jeez. Got to have a white beater.
It ain't easy being greasy.
Yeah.
No, you know I wear white beaters.
Yeah, I know.
But are we going to pretend like I don't wear white beaters? What, are we playing games?
No, I know you do. That's all I'm saying is. And most Italians do. Like, if you watch, like, movies and see pictures of Italians, they'll have the velour jumpsuits on, the white beaters underneath it, their baseball bats, They're coming out to you saying,
"Goodbye, knuckles, baseball bats, and chains. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it."
Yeah, coming out.
You know,
coming out saying 500 fights.
500 fights until you're a man.
That's right.
You know what though? You know what? Those were all good and great times. What about my friend that's getting a Rolex? What do you want to know?
Well, do you think it'll get played out? Because look at that,
$10,000. I'll be honest with you. I can't buy that because I can't justify it. I can't tell myself. The Range Rover, I'm like, you know what? I've got two kids. It's
right.
A family car. I can justify it. You know, my John Varvatos shoes, I want to be like Brendan Schaub. I can justify it.
Mm-hmm.
A $10,000 watch, I can't talk myself into it yet. However, when he gets the $10,000 watch and he's wearing a heavy gold Rolex, I promise you I'll be jealous. I'll be jelly.
But what's his income like, though? What's his income like that he can afford a $10,000 watch?
He's not going to be living he's not going to be living a Rolex lifestyle wearing the Rolex, I'll tell you that.
Wow. See, then to me, that's just, I don't know, that's being a, as 50 Cent would say it, a wannabe gangster, a wankster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But every picture he takes, he poses a threat.
I guess so, man. I don't know. I don't see the, let me pay $10,000 to better myself. Let me go to seminars. Let me go to books. Let me go to this. Let me go to that. Not $10,000 on a watch. I mean, you can get any watch that tells time.
Sure. But when I look at the clock, it says right now.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, but there's a thing. It's a status thing. Maybe it's a status thing. When you're the only guy in the room with a Rolex, you're the only guy in a room with the Rolex.
Yeah, unless you're the only guy in the room that can buy you dinners and have awesome conversations and move a room, then I guess, yeah.
Sure, it's more important to move a room than wear a Rolex. No, that's 100% sure.
Exactly, but you can't buy a Rolex and not afford an average meal. You know what I'm saying?
No, I know exactly what you're saying. they can go to all the school they want, but they can't buy class.
Oh, that's true. That used to be my favorite saying.
That used to be your favorite saying. That's the quote before we close the show tonight.
Oh. Yeah, you can go to school, but, man, you can't buy class.
Mm-mm. So with you educated fools with money on your mind, you got your tan in your hand and the gleam in the eye?
Well, my friend.
So what's up, Ben? How was work today? I heard that, heard it bummed out on
you. Cause I showed up to a job that I showed up to a job that I need to pay my bills, but it's not my passion, so wah, wah, wah.
Yeah, you left today and a little down today, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I did. Because I feel like I'm just wasting my talents there. I need to take my talents to South Beach, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So
well,
how
are you Tony Horton made $950 million last year.
Wow.
That's what Ty Lopez keeps talking about. The Tony Horton guy from P90X made $950 million.
Wow. Well, he's got a product that everybody thinks that can change their life. Right now, we live in an obese world. Well, nation, not world, but nation. And they think, oh, this will be a quick fix. It's really not.
Can it change their lives?
It can if they do a whole lifestyle change. Now, exercise will only get you so far. This is my field. This is my comfort zone, I know. Because I teach lifestyle. I teach diet, exercise. I'm a consultant. And diet and exercise will only get you so far. If you really want to change the way you feel and the way you see food, it needs to become a lifestyle change. You need to change everything about it, the way you view food, not as live to eat, but you need to just eat to live. Food is great. You can enjoy it. Like we always preach, it's what you do 90% of the time, not what you do 10% of the time that makes you successful. So finding the good diet that works for you, a good lifestyle that works for you, and then exercising. And that's where it all comes in. That's what I had to learn. I mean, I graduated with my degree in health and exercise science. I do this for a living, and I'm still a little bit pudgy, but I'm making the changes because I know what it takes to get done. But it's a battle. It's really a battle because I have an addiction to food. Because anytime we go out, man, I spend way too much money. and I eat way too much. But, I don't know.
I view a good meal with a good time. Like, if I have friends come down and people come over, like, I want to shower us in food because that's where a lot of great conversation comes from. Everybody's eating.
Right.
Everybody's drinking. Everybody's cheery. And, you know, you get some of the best conversation. Everybody's laughing. You know, like me, I have an emotional connection that way. If it's a celebration or I'm excited, we celebrate with a meal, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think that that's a good way. But, you know, I don't have that love for snacking. My problem with
weight
is I don't snack. I drink sodas all day. From the minute I get up to the minute I go to bed, I've got a soda in my hand. One of the things that does get me is whenever I do eat, though, I overeat. I overindulge in whatever it is I'm eating. I never eat until satisfied. I always eat until full.
Yeah, I was the same way. I would, like, whenever we used to go out and do our thing, I would get so full and drink so much. Then I would pass out. And I would do that over and over and over. But now I've learned that you only eat a certain amount, and you have this, and you have that, calories out, then calories in. So it's a process. It's a lifestyle change. It really is. And you got to see food as not only food, but everything else in life. What you put into your body, your mind, your heart, your gut, whatever you put in, you're going to get
out. Why is the generation ahead of us, 50-year-olds, why are they all thin still? And it gets anything under 50-year-olds, people get heavy.
I think it's due to the fast food nation we've become. Everything is quick, easy, instant this, instant that. The microwave didn't come out until like the 80s. And everybody back then, they would work. They honestly would work. Watching my dad, he grew up on a farm. And I remember growing up as a kid, we'd go out to the farm, and Grandma would fix huge piles of biscuits and gravy, eggs, ham, turkey. But that's the only thing we had to eat until noon after we got done working. But we were working all day. But I think it's that we came to not watching our portion sizes and having fast food and no education. There's a lot of education, but we don't really dive into it. Only a select amount do.
See, that's so strange to me because we ignore it, but we know it. But we can look like all my coworkers who are about 15 years older than me are all thin. All of them.
Right.
They're
all
thin.
What I hate the most is since I do work in the health industry, and like if I go to a seminar, this is what really hit me. I went to a seminar, and I was the only big person there, and I was like, time to make a change, because everybody else was health, fitness, exercise. Everybody was getting up and doing all the exercises, which I didn't have a problem with doing. I can do those, but it's still the fact that I was the biggest one there. And I don't want to be like that, man. Like I tell everybody, we only get one home, and this is your home. So treat it, respect it, and love it.
Do you think people judge people who are overweight and not as attractive?
Oh, yeah. Most definitely.
You think it's fair?
Most definitely. I don't think it's fair, no, because I really don't.
Bill Gates isn't a very good-looking guy, you know.
But he's got money.
Warren Buffett is not. Well, no, right. But, you know, I think you think people get judged for their looks. You know, do people have reservations about someone because of the size of their looks?
Oh, talk about that. Okay, so there's a video on YouTube. It's called Dad Bod versus the Hulk Bod. It's these two guys. The guy who was dressed up had his normal body on, just the dad bod, not super fat, just a little chunky in the middle. And then they had a super ripped guy, and he was dressed up as the Hulk. So they went up to random girls and asked, hey, who would you rather have, dad bod or this guy? 99% of the time, they chose the Hulk guy. So, yeah.
Dang, really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and he was all painted up, and he was just acting like the Hulk. But this other guy was very intellectual, very nice, very persuasive. and they still chose the Hulk because of his body. They didn't get to know the personality. They didn't get to know this. They didn't get to know that. It's very shallow sometimes.
Why is it? Why do we live in that shallow culture?
I don't know. I think it's the fear of trying something new because we'll get judged. Say we're at the club, dancing up on somebody, might be a little bit bigger than what I normally am with. My friends are going to razz me all the time because I'm dancing with somebody that's a little bit bigger. I don't know. Judgment maybe? I don't know. We're too afraid of what people think of us. We've become very soft.
Yeah, I don't know. What are you talking about, like, friends? Do you think peer pressure is a real thing? Like, I never cared about what you guys thought. I was always going to be me. Like, I didn't care. I don't care.
All right.
I don't need my friend's approval. I never fell victim to peer pressure. Did you?
Oh, yeah, of course I did. Of course I did. My best friend was like, hey, if you really want to be my best friend, you have to fight this guy. I was like, okay, I'll do it, man. I'll do it. Line him up.
Yeah, you had that's when I met you, and I was like, what a terrible best friend. And he went out there and told you, when he swings at you, catch every punch he throws to your face.
Every punch. And I did. I took every punch. So, a little background on this. I wasn't a fighter. I played a lot of sports, but I wasn't really a fighter. I'm not really aggressive
not
in
a
fighting mode.
Not a fighter. Not a fighter at all. Let's be very frank.
If we can't solve our differences with words or intellect, I'm not going to fight you. I'm not a child. I'm not an animal. So
you're not a barbarian.
I was like, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to try this MMA stuff. I'm going to get out there and do it. Well, first round. Boom, 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 right to the face.
Your best friend at the time had trained a lot of MMA from like 17 to 21.
Mm-hmm.
And it was me. I trained all the time. I was big into MMA. And it was like 2005. When it first came out, everyone rushed out for membership. And, you know, I could fight. I was well-trained. I was in shape. I was a young man. And I've always been really aggressive, ultra-aggressive in my childhood. And I'm sorry, are you at the kennel? Are you at the kennel?
No, I just walked in my house.
Okay,
and
all right.
My wolves are barking.
So, literally, though, I was ultra-aggressive. I always felt like I had something to prove. So I walked around with that chip on my shoulder. And like I said, I never fell victim to peer pressure. Matt, on the other hand, had been so, listen, I think they were treating him like a little brother, and he feels they were picking on him. I felt they were giving him the little brother love, and he felt like he had to stand up for himself. If we want to be clear, he wasn't one to try out this MMA stuff. He was 20. And felt like he was being picked on, and he had a 20-year-old brain that said, you know what, I'm going to fight this guy. And this guy was 45 and on steroids, openly on steroids, was he not?
He was.
He openly was on steroids. He would brag about it. And him and another guy would just tease Matt all day, 8 hours a day, 5 days a week. But I always looked at it like little brother love. Well, Matt didn't like being a little brother. He was the oldest brother in his family. So he wasn't used to being a little brother at work. And he tells me, he goes, I think I'm going to fight him in an MMA fight. And I said, well, for sure, 100%, no, you're not. And he said, no, really, I'm going to fight him. And I said, but no. And he goes, yeah, man, I'm really going to do it. I'm going to fight him. And I said, bro, the last thing you're going to do is fight Danny Harris. And he said, no, I'm going to fight him. And I finally talked him out of it. He says, fine, I won't fight, blah, blah, blah. That night he shows up at my apartment, and he goes, hey, will you go with me for a minute? And I'm like, where are we going? He's like, you're still with me for a minute. I'm like, all right. We start driving down the road and start heading toward Keys. And I'm like, what's up, man? And he's like, I'm going to fight Danny. And I was like, you idiot. Like, I've never been so mad at Matt. Like, I went 0 to 100 real quick, and I mean – real freaking quick, because I didn't know why he was doing it, you know. Point being, we get out there, and I take it over, Matt. Tell it any version you want to, and I won't call you out.
So what happened was, went out there, and Tiger can contest to this. Few years later, he sees this guy's friend that I was training with. This guy was like 400 pounds. He was pretty big. And me,
no,
I was
sure,
only
sure,
like
sure,
200,
sure.
220 pounds soaking wet, maybe 240.
Sure.
And come to find out, they were picking on me, were they not?
No, yeah, okay. So Matt wanted to learn how to wrestle, and wrestling wasn't my forte. My forte was jujitsu. And yes, Matt went out there, and I said, how'd it go? And he goes, well, he laid on me and punched me in the head and punched me in the ribs and wouldn't get off. And I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, he just kept saying, get me off of you. And he punched me in the stomach, pushed my face in the dirt, and punched me in the face. And I was like, whatever, dude, you're lying. He wouldn't do that to you. About 4 years later, I found out that he was laying on top of Matt, punching him in the gut, pushing his face in the dirt, and punching him in the head. And the wife had to open the door. She's on phone me and yelled, get off of him. All you're doing is bullying him.
Imagine that.
So I will contest to that. So I will contest to that.
Dude's 200 pounds bigger than I am, just laying on
and
me.
And just punching the fire out of you.
Yeah, so it's a little ridiculous. So anyway, show up to fight. I'm like, okay, I'm going to do this because Tiger said if I want to be his best friend, I have to fight this guy. So I did. First round.
That's
call
for
the round.
Sure.
First round. Hey, everybody, touch your gloves. So touch the gloves. Gave the poorest, most hideous single leg takedown. Tried to shoot in. Didn't happen.
At least you're being very honest right now. It was.
Thank you.
I'm not a wrestler. You're being very honest right now. Listen, I'm not a wrestler, and I could have shot in better than that.
Yeah. So, did that. I'm very gun-shy because this is like the second actual fight I've ever been in.
Well, you're not a fighter. Just bottom line.
Yeah.
You had no business in there. You're not a fighter. And you were just so fed up with this. Finish the story. Oh, my gosh. When I say gun-shy, I mean the first five-minute round, he threw no punches.
So basically the first round, just go ahead and tie my hands behind my back and let me try
sure.
to fight. So after doing after that horrible single leg takedown I tried to do, he started just waylaying my face. Bap, uppercut, jab, left, right, jab.
He was peppering you, bro. Pop.
So then again, I look over, like it's not even fazing me. I just look over and say, hey, what am I doing wrong? And he's like, everything. You're doing everything wrong. So the bell rings. We talk it out. Second round comes up. I was taking punches again. Another round. Mm. Boom, right to the face. Left, right. Uppercut.
In between rounds one and two, you came up to me for cornering fight, and you go, bro, what am I doing wrong? And I grabbed you by the shirt collar, and I got, like, right in your face. I was so mad. And I yelled, everything! Oh, my God.
Yeah. And so, second round's called. I'm out there, yet again, gun-shy. Left, right. A, B. Like, tearing me up Mortal Kombat style. And so the bell's about to ring, 10 seconds in. I finally let go. Boom! Haymaker right there to the ribs. Round over. Matt, you ready to go your third round? As I say, yes. My blood is pouring out of my nose, all over my lips, eyes black. Matt, you ready to go your third round? You know what? Let's go. Hey, are you ready to go your third round, Denny? No, I don't want to beat him up anymore. Dude, I'm ready to go right here. Third round. Let's call it. And so, little and behold, I called my third round. He didn't. So that was that. I considered myself that I won. He didn't, because I called my third round, but I don't know. So basically, Tiger has, looks like he lost us, so I'm going to go ahead and try to get him back in. Just give me 1 second, guys, sorry. Oh, while I'm doing this, don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes, like us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. So I'm going to try to get him back in here real quick, see what we can do. But no matter what Tiger says, he's a liar. He's lying because he made me fight this guy hardcore. He's like, Matt, if you really want to be my friend, you'll fight and you'll like it. And you'll like every bit of it. So, with that, I decided just go ahead and do it. But, sorry, I'm walking through my house. My wife is cooking some salmon, and it smells amazing right now. So good. So good. So, now that we're trying to burn up some time, and we're talking about fashion, we're talking about a little bit about that, we're talking about health and exercise science, we're talking about eating habits. What are some of the stuff that you do that you could change for the lifestyle? You know, if you're overweight or you're not really satisfied, all it is just take small steps, and those small steps added over time will give you success. So I'm going to try to log in this one more time and see if I can add him in so we can finish up our show. Tiger, if you're there, just hold on one moment, uno momento, and I can get us going. Hey, buddy, I see you. Hey, buddy, I see you. Are you there?
Not yet.
Hello? Yeah,
hello?
You're in. I got you. You're in.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
You got me? Awesome.
Yeah.
Welcome back. Cool. I don't know what happened. I'm driving down the highway in a loose service. So I heard you throwing me under the bus. So I just wanted to say, for the record, what I said was, if you don't win, I'm not your friend.
Yeah. But I won. I called my third round.
But you won. So. You called your third round. So we became best friends.
Yeah.
And that's the story of us, folks. That's all we have for tonight. Thanks for tuning in and hearing that Matt got beat up by a 45-year-old man when he was 20 years old.
Good night.
So what's up, man? I heard you talking about a few more things, wrapping up the show, telling everybody they need to rate and review us, subscribe on iTunes, check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, on Blog Talk Radio. What else, man? What else is up?
That's pretty
science.
Much it.
We're talking about being fashionable, why people buy things to impress people, what insecurity or what motivation is that? Is that considered a motivational thing?
I think so. Insecurity? I think it's considered motivation. And I think anything can motivate you.
But. Yeah, definitely. I feel motivated to get up, get down, get up, get down like that. That makes me feel.
Yeah.
So let's talk about let's start wrapping the show, and let's talk about something real fast. Tomorrow.
I don't have it. Okay, tomorrow.
We're going to review. Here's what we'll talk to wrap in. I shouldn't have said it like this. Let me say it like this. Let's wrap the show with letting everybody know what our schedule is from now until Sunday.
Okay.
So
go ahead,
tomorrow
go ahead.
Is reviewing Chapter 7 of Lewis Howes' book, The School of Greatness, right? Then what's
that
the next
for us?
Friday, what's Friday?
Friday, the drive home, and it will be at 4:30. Saturday, we're off in style. Sunday, hopefully we'll have a meditation guru on Sunday. If not, then I know I can most definitely talk about what you need to have in your closet.
Ooh, yes, for sure. And you need to have your hairstylist come back on and talk about a product that you two made over the weekend.
She didn't make it. I made it. And she's
just giving
it different.
Oh, I thought you said you and her were doing it together.
No, I'm doing it all for BLS, my friend. All for BLS.
Oh,
Okay. Awesome, my man. Awesome. Well, Matt, since it was your favorite quote back in the day, why don't you end us with it and tell everybody, the lovely, beautiful listeners, what E to the L to the S stands for.
All right, I sure can. So, as we end this podcast, most definitely would love to say, you can go to school, my friends, but you can't buy class. Farnsworth Bentley. Now, as we end the show at 7:15, I want you to realize, before you go to bed, make sure you give thanks to your creator, of course, and to your family and friends. And as always, take your vitamins, say your prayers, and be a less
and watch.
Believe.
Got
no, go ahead. Watch what?
No. I want to say the whole Hogan. I loved it. I just wanted to chime in. Go ahead. Be a less.
Take your vitamins, say your prayers, eat your vegetables, and of course, as always, believe, learn, and succeed, my friends. As always, I'm Matthew the Blanket Man, and to my left is the lovely, beautiful Dr. Taylor.
Remember, tune in tomorrow for the next episode from G to Jim.
Mmm.